from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In this segment, Crowley will preview the Marlins series by taking you down to South Florida. Alex Krichik, host of the Marlins podcast, The Fish Stripes, to see what's happening down in South Beach.
Joining me now on the Fly the W podcast, I am happy to welcome Alex Krichik from the Marlins podcast, Fish Stripes. What is going on, Alex? How are you?
How's it going, Paul? Things are doing pretty well. Just a couple hours removed from a pretty big comeback win for the Marlins against the Braves. It was pretty fun to watch, follow along with. It's something that never seems to happen to the Marlins in Atlanta. Atlanta's been the thorn in the Marlins' side for years. I'm sure the Cubs have a team like that, where it's just a team that you cannot beat them, especially when you go to their city.
Well, St. Louis has always kind of been the traditional rival, so that's always been the one that has been frustrating. But one of the great all-time moments for us is when the Cubs beat them in 2015, the first time they faced each other in the postseason. So, it is hard because Atlanta's like a perennial, always in first place, always in the postseason. So I get what you're saying.
It's one of those things where they're always really, really good already, and then they kick it up a notch against the Marlins. But it was fun.
Oh, that's good. So both teams, the Cubs and the Marlins, who face off this weekend, are coming off victories, so that's got to be good. The Cubs took 4 of 6 from your Marlins last season. They took 2 of 3 in Wrigley in August and 2 of 3 from the Marlins in Miami in September. And, Alex, I was talking to Blake Harris from the Inside the Ravine podcast with the Dodgers. We just finished playing the Dodgers twice, and we don't play them the rest of the year. And I was talking about how dumb that is because you guys played us last year in August and September when the Cubs, after the All-Star break, ended up being one of the best teams. If you'd have played us in April, May, June, it was a completely different team.
Yeah, of course. It's one of those weird things where sometimes it really helps, sometimes it really hurts. If the other team is injured or they're just kind of cold, it's one of those things where you love it. You know, the Marlins – I'll give you an example. The Marlins played the Phillies a couple weeks ago. The Phillies are going to be a very good team this year, but they started off very cold. I would have loved to play them a couple times more if we could have, just because when you play teams back-to-back, you either get them when they're really hot or really cold. It just depends on how the cards fall that day or that week.
Yeah, and so last year you guys got us when we were in their hottest stretch. Yeah, that August-September stretch was and September – I mean, it looked like a completely different team. You wouldn't even have recognized that team from April and May. But that team is not the team you're facing. The Cubs made a ton of off-season moves. Finally, after a few years of not spending much, they kind of are back on the market. They picked up shortstop Dansby Swanson, pitcher Jameson Taillon, Cody Bellinger, Trey Mancini, Eric Hosmer, Tucker Barnhart, Brad Boxberger, Michael Fulmer, and they re-signed Drew Smyly. So, I mean, a ton of moves, but the obviously the big loss was Wilson Contreras. He's now playing for the Cardinals that I was talking about. And then Wade Miley is now north of the Cheddar Curtain over in Milwaukee. So those are the moves that the Cubs have made. And you can see a lot of it is, Swanson's a big one, obviously, but a lot of high character guys, and it's just brought a winning attitude to Chicago.
Yeah. It's been fun to follow along with you guys when I can. And, is it Cody Bellinger? You guys are enjoying him up there?
Yeah, he actually, I don't know if he's going to be in this series. He just had a child. His wife had a child. Excuse me. His wife had a child, and what ends up happening is that he took paternity leave. So we've had Nelson Velasquez, who's a real young, bright talent coming up. But yeah, watching Cody Bellinger, I mean, the Cubs have had a very long history of bad center fielders. So watching that guy play, even if he doesn't hit, and he's been doing pretty good with the bat as well, but just watching him defensively is out of this world.
It's been fun to watch for sure, because Cody Bellinger is one of those guys where he comes into the league, he plays very well, and then out of nowhere, I'm not the strongest talent evaluator, so I can't look at him and figure out what the heck went wrong with him. But he just had such a dip in performance the last couple of years. So it's fun to see that he's back to at least semi-close to where he could be.
Well, that's the hope, and it's a one-year prove-it deal, so he's got a lot riding on this. And for the Cubs, they kind of, you know, they took a gamble and they paid a big price. I mean, it's not, I mean, $20 million isn't anything to sneeze at, but based on his production the last couple of years, that's a pretty high salary for a guy that was struggling. So, you know, I think the deal worked out for everybody, so we'll see what happens, and hopefully he'll be back for the series.
Yeah, of course, it'll be fun to watch him. It'll be fun to watch him down here in Miami if we could see him.
So what did Miami do this offseason to kind of change the team up a little bit?
Well, speaking of deals that work out for everybody, I'm going to start with Luis Arraez. He was, of course, the American League batting champ last year, and as of right now, he's in line to win it in the National League this year. He was traded to Miami in January. The Marlins sent away pitcher Pablo Lopez, who now looks like a possible Cy Young candidate. I know it's only been a few starts. It's only April. But working with what we have right now, he looks like a possible Cy Young candidate. We also sent away a prospect hitter, Jose Salas. Luis Arraez has been so impressive, not only because of obviously how well he's hitting, but Miami has not been historically good at hitting under this current ownership group. So many free agents and trade acquisitions and draft picks have come in and they just fall off. Luis Arraez is one of the only guys that I could think of under Kim Ng, under Bruce Sherman, who has come in and actually exceeded expectations. So let's take a look at some stats. Aside from opening weekend, when, you know, the stats are really wonky, even by April standards, his batting average peaked at 537. His average has gone down since then by virtue of the fact that no one can hit the ball more than 50% of the time over a long sample size. But he hasn't slowed down. He's still hot. He's got 10 hits in his last seven games. And that includes one game where he went completely hitless. He is a very throwback player. The only thing he's missing is a little bit of speed. He's not the fastest guy, but he just puts the ball in play. He's not a huge home run hitter. But he puts the ball in play and he gets on base. He's been bouncing around between the number one and the number three spot in the lineup because, like I said, he's not a traditional leadoff hitter in the sense that he's not really fast. But at the number one and number three spot, he's been pretty productive wherever he is.
Nice. Who else did you guys? You guys got any other good pickups?
Well, one of the guys that I'm most impressed with, and I'll talk about him a little bit more later when we talk about some of the guys that have been real hot for the Marlins, but A.J. Puck, I don't want to give out all the information yet on him, but he's one of the first closers in a long time where I don't get heartburn when I see him come in with a tight lead. He's been so productive. He's been so trustworthy. The only name I could think of, A.J. Ramos from, you know, the mid-2010 era for the Marlins. But even he would let up, you know, a hit here, a walk there. It was a roller coaster with him. A.J. Puck doesn't allow hits or walks so many times. He'll go 1, 2, 3. So that's been a great acquisition. He was the one that the Marlins got from Oakland when we sent away J.J. Blade. Kim Ng, for all of the criticism that she gets, and some of it is deserved, some of it isn't, she will fleece a team. I think that J.J. Blade, for what looks like a lockdown closer, a long-term lockdown closer, it's a steal. So that's who I am also very impressed with. We got a couple of other guys that they acquired that I'm not too happy with what I've seen, but also kind of expected. They got Gene Segura. He has been, in the nicest way possible, just a net negative on offense. There's nothing to really speak of. He's actually he's not just a strikeout hitter. He's actually worse. He grounds into double plays a whole lot. Guaranteed he's going to ground into at least one double play this weekend. He's tied for the major league lead with 7 groundouts. His fielding hasn't been great. He's got a 915 field percentage. He's got a few errors. When you watch the games this weekend, I guarantee you'll see at least 3 throws that go over the first baseman's head that he's going to have to corral. So, I mean, he keeps the first baseman awake and active, that's for sure.
I remember Gene Segura from his Milwaukee days. Speaking of Milwaukee days, can you guys stop giving Milwaukee players? Because we talked about Pablo Lopez and how he's gone. But Brian Anderson, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a real hot start. He's cooled down a little bit. And, you know, I selfishly was like, thank God it's not another Christian Yelich situation. But also, I was happy to see him. He was very good with Miami his first couple of years. A combination of injuries and just, you know, your typical ebbs and flows in a career. He didn't look too hot the last year or two he was here. But that was – that almost looked very Christian Yelich. Like, yeah, it's cooled down a little bit. But, yeah, were you guys getting nervous up there?
Yes, like, oh, God, yes. One? Yes, I was so mad. I was like, God bless it. But I'll tell you something, and I'm just going to bring this up, and I'm going to bring it up nicely. I was sitting here, and I go to a lot of different games in different ballparks, Alex, and I was – it was me and some other – it was some Marlins prospect block, but I got an email, and I put this out here. What were you guys doing with this Bartman email? What was going on with that in Miami?
Oh, boy. So this was a real email that some of my colleagues also got, but the Marlins backtracked and said it was sent out in error. Look, I didn't like it. I feel terrible for the guy. I don't feel terrible for the select Cubs fans that, you know, made his life that way. But I feel so terrible for him. He doesn't want to be bothered. He doesn't want to do, you know, even after the Cubs won the World Series, he didn't want to be part of the celebration or anything publicly. Like, remember when the, I believe it was the Red Sox that brought back Bill Buckner and everyone, well, we forgive you in public now because we won the World Series. I don't think that Steve Bartman wanted anything to do with that. So I do think that the Marlins made a little bit of a faux pas with that because now we're talking about Steve Bartman again. Now Steve Bartman's back in the spotlight. Now his face is probably red and he's probably sweating a little bit because he's like, oh my God, they haven't spoken about me in years. And now here they go again.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it was that long ago. 20 years, right?
Yeah.
20 years ago. And that, yeah, I was actually at both the game, all the games, game 1, 2, and 6, and 7, all the games at Wrigley. So it brought up bad memories for me. But thinking about positive memories about this weekend series, let's take a look at the pitching probables right now. We got game 1, Marcus Stroman versus Jesus Luzardo. Stroh has been really good for the Cubs all year. The last start wasn't the greatest. He's 2-2 at the 2.17 ERA. He got torched. We got the Dodgers. We beat them in Los Angeles. But the Dodgers really did a number at Wrigley. They took 3 of 4 against the Cubs. So Stroh gave up a couple of long balls in that game, and it kind of got away from him in the 6th inning. But in general, he was really one of our better pitchers this whole season so far.
Yeah, he's been pretty fun to watch. And as for Jesus Luzardo, he will also be fun to watch at his absolute peak of potential. And we did see that in one game against the Twins earlier this year. He pitched 7 innings, struck out 10, gave up 1 run. Since then, he's kind of been average, an average pitcher, which has been a little concerning to see. I'm not actually concerned about him, but it's been kind of frustrating to watch because he was one of those guys where a lot of people down here in Miami were saying Jesus Luzardo is going to be great, but I was one of those ones that was saying he might be just as good as Sandy this year. He's got a great fastball. He's got a great arsenal. He's got velocity. He's got movement. He's got length as well. He could be efficient enough to pitch 7 or 8 innings consistently, but we haven't seen that this year. He's kind of been cold the last couple starts. Each of his last 2 starts, he's only gone 4 1/3. In his last start against Cleveland a few days ago, gave up 4 runs. Start before that against San Francisco, he gave up 3 runs. Start before that against Philly, gave up 3 runs. So he hasn't been as efficient lately. If he can be efficient and stop walking guys, Stop getting into deep counts. Stop giving up, you know, six hits a game. He's going to be a fun watch. And I do hope that this will be a good pitching matchup, which I suspect it will be if both of these guys can channel the best that they can be.
Right. So that's probably the best pitching matchup of the weekend, because on Saturday, you guys have Edward Cabrera. All I've seen is TBD. I don't know if they've updated or changed anything, but Jameson Taillon, one of the Cubs free agent acquisitions, did something with a groin, and it really hasn't been explained that well, but he's just long tossing and he's been out. So the question is, are they going to go with a bullpen game, or I'm sure they're going to call somebody up. Javier Assad was called up earlier for Jameson Taillon. He had a great spring training, a great World Baseball Classic, and then flopped right out of the gate. And so he was down in AAA, and they're working on some things. But potentially him, potentially Roenis Elias, who was also in the WBC for Team Cuba, but not really sure exactly what you guys are going to see on Saturday.
Yeah, this is going to be a whole weekend of TBD, because I believe, if I'm correct, the Marlins currently have TBD listed on Sunday. Let me just check that real quick. But I do believe, if it's not already listed officially, I do believe from what I've heard, and then this is nothing official that I know of yet, but I've heard that it'll be Brian Hoeing, who has been in the minor leagues for the Marlins, did make a start this week against Cleveland. I believe it was Cleveland. It was either Cleveland or earlier in the Atlanta series. Did pretty good. Pretty good for a spot starter. He's going to give you innings. He's going to give you a chance to win. He's a good pitcher, but he's a spot starter. He'll be back down as soon as Marlins guys get healthy. As for Edward Cabrera on Saturday, he's another one of those guys. I briefly mentioned it with Jesus Luzardo. If he can stop walking guys, he's another guy who is sensational. He's got a disgusting curveball. Probably, if I had to say, I would say it's the best curveball in the Marlins rotation off the top of my head. He gave up 4 runs in 4 1/3 against Atlanta a few days ago. And that was also by virtue of walking 4 guys in part. So if he can keep control and keep walks off the board, I think that's another exciting one.
All right. So you're preaching, you're saying the Cubs should be patient in their approach here with some of these younger Marlins pitchers.
Some of these guys, definitely. I would say, if I had to give out the scouting report, I would say that Saturday when Edward Cabrera pitches, just kind of watch a few pitches. Definitely don't go first pitch swinging.
All right. Now, good luck to you guys on Sunday, because you mentioned Brian Hoeing is who I have down here too as well. But he is going to take on the big lefty, Justin Steele, 4-0 with a 1.19 ERA. Since the All-Star game last year, he has the lowest ERA of any starter in baseball since the All-Star break last year. So it has really just clicked in for him, and it has been so fun to watch this kid pitch. I don't know. He's got that bulldog mentality in him, and he just goes out there and he does it. And so he's, like I said, 4-0. Last start was against San Diego. He didn't go 6 innings, so it's the first time in a while he hasn't had a quality start. But he went 5.1 innings and gave up 3 hits and no earned runs. So, I mean, when you just go down the list, it's 4 hits, 1 run, you know, 3 hits, 2 runs. It's ever, you know, the first start was a little bit shaky of the year, but ever since then, he's just been on fire.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And where did he come from, if you don't mind? Because that's a name that I've heard around, but I'm not familiar with his game. What's he all about?
So Justin Steele was drafted by the Cubs in 2014. And then just a combination of different things, injuries, COVID, all this stuff. You know, he kind of came up then as a reliever. And then last year he took he started some 2 years ago in 2021. He had some starts, and then he competed for a job in 2022. And he did really good, but then something just, like I said, clicked in the especially in the second half, and the guy became just otherworldly. And so it's been a fun to watch. And the Cubs are not known for developing pitching that much. So, you know, I'm trying to think, maybe Carlos Zambrano and Mark Pryor, who were in those 2003 teams.
Yeah.
But in general, not the Cubs' strong suit. So having someone that comes up from our system has been really exciting.
That's awesome, especially when they've been in the minors for that long. I know it's a little bit different of a story, but that Maggie guy is a Drew Maggie with Pittsburgh. That was 33 years old, just came up from the minors. Those kinds of stories are cool.
Yeah, and Justin's still pretty young, relatively young. He's only 27, so you know it's good to see him, you know, breaking out and kind of having some good success here. So really good guy too, good kid. So going to be a fun one on that one. So as we kind of go into this weekend, we're going to do some hots and nots. And one guy, when you talk about leadoff hitter, our leadoff hitter, we finally actually have one for the first time since Dexter Fowler. Nico Hoerner has been on fire lately. Last seven games, he's batting .333 with two home runs and 10 RBIs, nine hits and 27 at bats. But this guy has just been – he just got a contract extension maybe like right before opening day, and it's just been so exciting to watch him. He's been really good. Trey Mancini, who everyone was freaking out, signed in the offseason, but you know, he had a start, you know, sluggish start, but now he's picking it up. He's batting .316 in the last seven with two home runs and five RBIs. So pretty good. On the, you know, who do you guys got who that's pretty hot right now?
So I actually wanted to do a little bit of a zigzag with that. I have the entire back end of the Marlins bullpen, Dylan Floro and AJ Puck. I told you I didn't want to give away the whole book on AJ Puck, and that's because I wanted to drop a couple stats. So he's got a 1.0 ERA. Besides, it was the second game of the season. Either way, it was opening weekend against the Mets. It was his first appearance. Marlins are up 2-0. AJ Puck gives up a solo home run to Pete Alonso in the ninth inning. That was it. Only run scored that game. Still gets the 2-1 save. He hasn't given up a single run since then. He has thrown seven scoreless outings since then, eight innings total, zero runs since then. So aside from that run, which was technically in March, so he has not given up a run all April. So I don't want to say that he's automatic, because I'm sure once I say that, he's going to give up five runs on Saturday. But he's as automatic as you can get so far. And then Dylan Floro. Dylan Floro is not a name that a whole lot of people know. But he's been the Marlins' eighth inning guy. What I kept saying about this bullpen last year was it was full of a bunch of middle reliever guys that are fine in the sixth, seventh inning. Maybe if your pitcher has a short start, they can go in the fifth inning. But we didn't have any eighth inning or ninth inning guys. Dylan Floro has been the perfect setup man so far. He's been their eighth inning pitcher. He's got a 2.35 ERA. That 2.35 ERA came from Wednesday night against the Braves. He gave up three runs. It was the first time all year that he gave up any runs at all. First time all year he gave up multiple hits. And that was it. Everything else has been just a big goose egg. 0-0-0-0. He came back Thursday afternoon, delivered a scoreless and hitless ninth. He actually got the save opportunity in the comeback victory from the Marlins. So the Marlins have had this thing now where, and again, this hasn't been the case in years. I've been following this team since I was five. Years since the Marlins have been in a position where if they have the lead in the eighth inning, they're not giving it up. So that eighth and ninth inning battery, I would say that those are the hots.
Okay. And then, you know, I was going to say for the knots, Dansby Swanson has been struggling, but he just had his first Cubs home run today. But since he went bullpen, I'm going to go bullpen. We do not have that lockdown closer right now, and that's been a problem. Michael Fulmer, who they signed in the offseason, he's at a 7.84 ERA right now with two losses. And so he has been struggling. So if you see Michael Fulmer come in, Brad Boxberger they got, and he's been okay, not spectacular. But I think with the Cubs in the eighth and the ninth inning, that's kind of a concern right now because there isn't guys that miss bat. These are guys that pitch to a lot of contact. And so that's kind of been a struggle for the Cubs so far is who is the ninth inning guy. Boxberger figures better as an eighth inning guy than a ninth inning guy. But the bullpen right now for the Cubs, I think it's going to be a lot better in the second half. I think there's some guys on the way, just not happening just yet.
Yeah, that's always frustrating was when you know you kind of have arms, but you just can't click the right buttons to say where does this pitcher go? Which inning should this guy go into? Marlins have had that problem for few years. I can name a few guys. Anthony Bass, for example, was one of those guys who just he was good only in certain innings. And then you would say, hey, let's try him out as a closer. And then he would be not good.
I got to ask you, I know someone else that's cold on your team that's familiar with our audience, and that is Jorge Soler struggling out of the gate. What's going on with Georgie?
So actually, right out of the gate, he was tremendous. He has cooled down a little bit, but he had a barrel rate of 42%. I want to say it would have been his season high, his career high. He has cooled down a little bit, but he was hitting bombs for Miami, some clutch bombs as well. He had a game-tying home. It was either game-tying or a go-ahead home run a couple weeks ago. He hadn't been striking out a whole lot. He has cooled down a little bit, but for the most part, the Marlins are getting or were getting what they wanted out of him when they originally signed him last year, which was a guy who he's going to strike out. He's not going to hit for a whole lot of average, but he's going to hit home runs. Last year, they kind of got home runs. Before he had the back injury, he was on pace for 25 home runs, I believe, give and take 25 home runs. He's on pace for a little bit more than that this year. So the Marlins are getting what they want from him, and he's hitting the ball hard. The power hasn't left him.
All right. Well, we'll kind of watch closely. Good dude, and hopefully, like I said, he'll do some autograph signings in Chicago, all the people that need him on that World Series merch. But this, like you said, you know, this should be a pretty fun series. You got that interesting pitching matchup on Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, let's throw caution to the wind and see what happens.
Exactly. No, yeah. Sunday is going to be one of those who's who. Who's who with the classic Sunday lineups, classic Sunday starting matchups. It'll be fun.
Well, Alex, I appreciate you jumping on the podcast. For any of our listeners that are interested, you host the Fish Stripes podcast. You guys talk all things Marlins. And I'm going to wish you guys luck after this weekend, my friend.
Of course. And you as well. Thank you so much, Paul.
All right, Crowley, great interview. Cubs and Miami Marlins. This one's going to start out Friday night.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I am going to still be positive. I still think the Cubs are going to play take 2 of 3. I just hate that stadium in Miami. I just feel like the Cubs always seem to struggle there.
Have you been there, Crowley?
I have been there. I was there on opening day in 2018 when Ian Happ hit the very first pitch for a home run of the season.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
I think that they are going to the game two, that TBD. Ross is being a little coy about that. I don't know. So it's hard for me to really say what's going to happen at this point. But
you want to take a guess?
Might be Javier Assad. I'm not
Assad,
sure.
Assad, right? Or, yeah. Or some type of an opening, and then Assad comes in, something like that.
It's possible, but that's my, you know, I don't.
And that's that's a Fox National afternoon game.
Right, so that Roenis Elias,
if that matters, but
right, Roenis Elias maybe or Javier Assad. So I like Stroman and I like Justin Steele in Game 3 for sure. So I think they're going to take 2 of 3.
Yep, this should be another series. The Cubs will win absolutely, and we don't really have to do much predicting there. We're in agreement. 2 out of 3, 4 are Cubbies. That's a wrap. Don't forget to listen, download, review, and subscribe to the Fly the W podcast. Follow us on all the socials. Follow us on the Fly the W Facebook page, Fly the W on 670 Instagram, and of course, email us, flythew670@gmail.com. And now you can watch us on YouTube by subscribing to this Fly the 670 Score on the YouTube channel. Crowley, have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. Good thing they're probably not playing here in Chicago because the rain is supposedly coming heavy on Saturday and Sunday. So the Cubs games will happen. You can listen to Pat and Ron or watch them on TV and enjoy yourself.
The Cubs are taking their talents to South Beach. Go Cubs!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.